be with me, wants to work alongside me. He's learning the value of getting his hands dirty and working with his... What a blessing. And I think about, there's been times in the last year or so where multiple times a week I step on toy cars in my bare feet. And that hurts really bad. You know, you're walking around the house and you think all is well and all is safe and you just step on a Hot Wheel and, you know, that hurts. But then again, you think about that. And again, praise God. What a blessing that I have a boy and now a girl who's starting to like to play with toy cars, who can is healthy enough and active enough to play with them and leave them all over the floor for me to step on. And what we recognize is in life, there's so many ways God's blessed us. I mean, things that he has just done and things that he continues to do to just overwhelm us with his love and his grace and his mercy and his patience. Again, he's just overwhelmed us with such blessings. And often his blessings are seen in unexpected places and shown in unexpected ways. And the way God works to again, show us these amazing things and bless us in these many ways, we need to recognize God's blessings. And we need to continually give him thanks and continually give him praise for these things. We should be the most joyful, thankful people on the planet. We should be passionate in our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should characterize our life. It should just be a part of who we are and what we do on just a continual, regular basis. But I think if we're honest, we recognize there's times we just forget. Times we forget to say thank you and show our thanks and live out our thanks. So what I want to do this morning is just take some time, remember God's blessings and actively bring these things to mind and recognize the importance and prominence of thanksgiving. So if you would, want to just think about these things together with you, and we're going to just scan some New Testament passages. So don't feel like you need to at this point anyway, turn and follow along, because you'll be probably spending more time turning than you will be listening. So just listen to some of the passages that I want to read. And I want to just notice how prominent thanksgiving is, especially in the New Testament scriptures. This is a frequent reminder. This is an important reminder we see over and over and over again. And so at the end of 1 Thessalonians, as Paul's written a pretty encouraging letter to these brethren and ended by giving them some specific instructions and reminders of some things. The last chapter, the very end of that, just sort of this rapid-fire list of things to remember and keep in mind and help these young brethren grow in. And he says this beginning in verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In Ephesians 5, as Paul's giving us some instructions of the way we should live our lives, he says, "And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." So all this filthy stuff that would normally fill up our mouths, he said, get rid of all that. Replace it with thanksgiving. Replace it with giving thanks. Later on in chapter 5, he says, don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. Notice that the emphasis of again, how thanksgiving should just be a part of everything we do, should always be a part of our lives. In Colossians 1, you see him talking about our walk with Christ, and he just makes this statement, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The last part of that verse, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We get God's inheritance. We get a share in that inheritance. And so, of course, we're joyously giving thanks to the Father. Later on in Colossians 2, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted, being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. As if we were just some cup and filled up with gratitude, and it's just bubbling over and spilling over. That's our life in Christ. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let Christ's peace rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. The very next verse, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God, even the Father. And then later on in chapter 4, devote yourselves to prayer. We talked about that earlier in the year. Devoting ourselves to prayer, being devoted to prayer. But he says, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. Again, thanksgiving goes along with our prayer. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you see a few other statements in 1 Timothy 2 as well. But thanksgiving is a critical part of our walk. This is being filled with God's Spirit. This is being filled with God's Word. This is letting Christ's peace rule in our hearts. This is the solution to anxiety and distress and discouragement. This is walking with God. This is trusting God. This is loving Him. And this is experiencing and recognizing God's richest blessings. Thanksgiving is just right in the middle of all that and a part of that. And so as we think about that and just bring the prominence of thanksgiving to the forefront of our minds and see this emphasis in Scripture, I want to add to that a critical warning. Just as we recognize the importance of thanksgiving, we need to also recognize the catastrophic danger of not giving thanks. And so if you would, open up to Romans 1 for just a second. Romans chapter 1. What we'll see is the world didn't give thanks. In context, Paul's really describing why the Gentiles are guilty before God. They had a knowledge of God through creation, but they rejected God. They rejected God through their knowledge of Him. And listen to what he says beginning in verse 20. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they're without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And if you're familiar with this chapter, what you see is, as the text goes on, is God gave them over and this just sin spirals out of control. I mean, by the time you get to the end of chapter 1, you see all sorts of just wickedness that has just run rampant in their lives. Again, these people knew God, but they rejected God. But notice again, what was their first step away from God? They knew Him. There's abundant evidence of Him through creation. Not even evidence, it says it is evident within them. God made it evident to them. This is clearly seen. What was that first step away from God? Even though they knew that, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. And that's the first step towards this out-of-control, downward spiral into all kinds of evil. They knew God, but they didn't acknowledge Him as they should. Thanksgiving may seem small and insignificant. I forgot. Yeah, well, forgot to say thank you. Something we easily forget. But it really reveals a lot about our heart when we're not responding in thanksgiving. It's revealing whether or not I really trust God or whether I really see myself as self-sufficient. Whether I truly love God or whether I'm really more self-absorbed and inward-focused. Again, in context, Paul's really describing the Gentiles. These are the pagan nations. These are the godless nations. These are the idolaters and all of them. But when you look at the Scriptures, we see God's people falling into the same traps, into the same pitfalls. Look at Exodus chapter 15. If you'd open up to Exodus 15 with me for a minute. I want to just read a few examples of the Israelites. And think for just a moment, and as you turn there, just picture in your mind the amazing things the Israelites saw. As they were slaves in Egypt, experiencing this oppressive, harsh slavery, think about the amazing things they saw with their eyes that God accomplished. The 10 plagues, especially then the Passover that brought them out of Egypt. The way that the Egyptians just handed over all their stuff. Then you see them, God raising up the walls of the Red Sea that they could pass through on dry ground, and then closing that same wall to drown all the Egyptians, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, all these amazing things that God has shown them and the things He's done to bless them through all these things. And yet how quickly they turn to complaining. Look at Exodus 15, verse 22. And notice in context, this is the very first story you see right after Moses and Miriam led them in praising God for salvation. You see in verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, threw it into the waters. Notice their response. They grumbled, and they grumbled at Moses. Look at chapter 16. 16, we'll read 1 through 3. Then they set out from Elim, and the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And then go on to chapter 17. 17, beginning in verse 1. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin according to the command of the Lord and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Again, they had so recently witnessed blessings from God that we can barely imagine seeing today. I mean, can you imagine witnessing those things and seeing those things? They just recently experienced all that, and how quickly they turned to faithless, grumbling, and complaining. And this always strikes me. They didn't even complain to God. They grumbled to Moses, really about God. They're not even bringing God into it. And it's so faithless. It's so weak. Just throw out these complaints there without, again, recognizing the one who's behind this all. And so that faithless generation died in the wilderness. And one of the things you see happening in Deuteronomy as Moses is talking with that second generation, he's saying, don't go the way of your parents. Look at Deuteronomy 8 for just a minute. I'd like to read this whole chapter, but for time, I'll just pick up a few verses here. I'll give you homework, though. Would you read this chapter sometime this week? Just take some time and sit down and read Deuteronomy 8. But he talks about how God was with them in the wilderness in verse 3 and humbling them and teaching them these spiritual lessons, and it is God disciplining them in verse 5. And so notice verse 10. When you've eaten, he's anticipating taking them into the promised land to receive these blessings. When you've eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes. Verse 12, otherwise when you've eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Verse 17, otherwise you may say in your heart, "My power, my strength, my hand made me this wealth." But you shall remember the Lord your God. It's he who's giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers. you know, there's two sides to this temptation. When things are going really rough, there's a tendency to complain and just not be thankful and not trust in the Lord there. Whoops, I'm snagged on this. The other side of this is when things are going really well, the tendency is just to be self-reliant and proud and think we've done this all. Neither side are we giving thanksgiving and really expressing trust in God. And notice, this is God's covenant people. These are the ones who He's revealed Himself to and shown such amazing things. And they're struggling with this temptation in both sides of this. And so what about me, though? You know, well, that's the pagan Gentiles. Well, that's the Israelites. I mean, we always agree that they're messing up big time. But am I different? Am I different than they are? Do I slip into discontentment? Do I slip into complaining? Do I slip into bitterness? Or is my life characterized by joy and thanksgiving? Is that just who I am? That I've been transformed by the love of God so much that I'm not only a thankful person, but I'm giving thanks? I think we're tempted to complain. I know at least in a couple group studies I've shared this illustration. I don't think I've done it in a sermon, but I remember this just always strikes me when I think about thankfulness and complaining. But when I first moved to Vermont as an intern, I had been living there a year by myself, and at the time we had a couple complainers in the office, and they just were, I mean, you know how that is. It just really sets the tone for the whole office and just brings you down. And I remember Vermont winters are a little longer, and I just remember, you know, March, April, this one guy in particular was just, it's so cold, I'm sick of this, and just constantly talking about how cold it was. And we get this beautiful day, 68.6 degrees or something like that, right? And we walked as an office and we went down to a local sandwich shop and we're eating outside, eating some good sandwiches, enjoying the sun shining down on our faces and thinking, you cannot ask for a better day than this. And Patrick goes, it's a little hot, isn't it? You know, you got to be kidding me. But aren't we like that sometimes? I mean, just complainers, grumblers, complainers. And if we're honest, there's times that weather makes things difficult for us. I mean, I don't have to drive out in snow, but some of you do, as far as for work and everything like that. There's times that the weather makes things difficult to us. Let me say this, though. Do we express our concern to God? Do we express our concern to God in faith? Or are we faithless complainers? Sometimes, you know, we wouldn't dare tell God directly how much we hate the weather and hate what's going on. But we'll tell everybody else we see, can you believe? You know, and we do the same thing. But who commands the weather? Who's above it all? And think about Israel and their lack of faith and how they complained without faith. Let's not be like faithless Israel. And then, you know, you think that's just the weather. You know, we all experience that, so that's a common ground for all of us. But think about sometimes we have struggles with brethren. We have struggles with one another. And let me just say, I mean, can you believe how misguided and immature some people are? Can you believe people have the nerve to see things differently than I do? Some people don't automatically agree with every opinion that I put out there. What in the world? Can you believe that? We laugh, but isn't that kind of what's going on deeper down? I mean, we wouldn't ever verbalize something that absurd. Maybe not, maybe sometimes, but, you know, oftentimes that's our internal reaction. We get frustrated, we get angry, we get bitter, we get discouraged. Try giving thanks. Thank God for your brother or sister. Thank God that Jesus died for them. Thank God that they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God that he brought them into His family. And thank God that He'll use your differences, use your imperfections to teach us His perfect patience, His perfect love, His perfect grace. I mean, think about the things God wants in us, and then think about the way He went about to bring it. He put us all together and says, figure it out. But what does that do for us? I mean, it's teaching us these characteristics and these virtues that he wants in us. Well, rather than just getting frustrated and burnt out and discouraged, let's give God thanks. And let's see, this is God's design. This is all part of what God's working to accomplish. And let's give him thanks and praise for that. So we're tempted to complain. We're tempted to forget. Think about all the ways God answers our prayers. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. When difficult times come, we are quickly driven to our knees to seek God's help. And let me be clear, that's right. That's faith. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to turn to him when we're struggling, when we're weak, when we're overwhelmed by various things. Whatever pain, whatever difficulty we're experiencing. But God also wants us to see his gracious answer. Whatever that answer is, he wants us to see his gracious answer, and he wants us to respond in thanksgiving. How quickly we pray for help, and then our problem's resolved, and we chalk it up as, well, time and chance happen to all people, right? You know, we've just prayed about it, and it just happens, and what do you know? How lucky that was, right? Or even worse, we think, man, I'm so glad I figured that out. I was struggling with that. I even prayed about it, but I figured it out in the end, you know? And give ourselves or some other person credit for something that God's done. I've done this way too much, and it's easy to do. But again, thanksgiving's critical. I ask this question, am I as fervent in thanksgiving as I am in supplication? You know, you think about the times we just pour out our hearts to God, asking him for help, asking, do I have that same energy and passion and devotion to God to respond in thanksgiving? Recall the 10 lepers from our reading. There was the one guy who returned to glorify God and give thanks. And Jesus' response was, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this guy? Where are the nine? Let's not complain. Let's not forget. Let's give thanks. Again, true faith not only turns to God for help, but continues to turn to God to give thanks. I think we'll see there's a direct connection between our faith and our thanksgiving. And I want to just think about that for just a second. I think we recognize thanksgiving expresses faith. When you actively give thanks, you're actively expressing your faith in God, that you believe in him, that you trust in him, that you love him. You're recognizing that he alone is the giver of all good gifts, and you recognize more personally that he has blessed you very richly. And so when you're giving thanks, you're expressing your faith. There is another side of this too, though, that thanksgiving does strengthen our faith as well. The more we trace God's hand, the more we see his hand to help and provide and bless, don't we just come to love and trust him that much more? You see that in the Psalms. A few weeks ago when we were focused on the Lord's Supper and I was working through Psalm 22, you know, remember those low points David was having and how he was back and forth and wrestling and everything like that? The thing that finally brought him out, he says, you have been my God from my mother's womb. Not only did he know about God's deliverances of other people that he would gain through the Scriptures, but he's investing in God personally. He would recognize, God, you've always been there. And the more that we just give thanks and recognize God's with us and blessing us and providing for us, that deepens our trust and deepens our faith and deepens our love for him. Let me recommend something like a prayer journal. Not necessarily a daily prayer journal, but just from time to time, write out a prayer. And then from time to time, go back and reread that. When I've done that, I have been amazed. And honestly, things that I'd just completely forgotten about because they were resolved. They happened. Life happened and I moved on. I go back and you read that and you think, wow, it's amazing how that was such a concern. And, well, you know, I guess that's the way of life, right? We're lucky and things just work out for our good. Thanks be to God, who loves us and cares about us and wants to hear our prayers and wants to answer our prayers. Let's respond in thanksgiving. And so what does thanksgiving look like? And what does this look like in sort of every day? Well, first, I think we want to recognize it's we're saying thank you. We're giving God thanks. We're saying thank you. You know, we teach our children, you need to say thank you. And then we get to whatever age it is, and then all of a sudden that doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I've matured past needing to say thank you. No, say thank you. Take just as we would encourage you when you're struggling, take quiet time just to seek God and be with Him. Do the same thing on the other side of the difficulty. Take that time just to thank God and be alone with Him and give Him thanks and give Him praise. Recognize who He is. And there are so many psalms that just model this thanksgiving. And I encourage you, look at the Psalms of Thanksgiving and learn how to do this and really grow in this. But beyond that, we need to tell others. This is a part of Thanksgiving as well, and something that you really see emphasized in the Psalms. One of the things you see in these Thanksgiving Psalms is Thanksgiving is often paralleled with telling others what God's done. Psalm 9 and verse 1 says, and again, recognize the Hebrew poetry and the parallelism and the structure here. Psalm 9 and verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Psalm 22, I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And then Psalm 26 and verse 7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. So again, there's this relationship between being thankful, giving thanks, and telling others. Telling others. What an opportunity to glorify God. What an opportunity to glorify God to believers, to unbelievers. Think about what message complaining sends. What message complaining sends to others. It's not edifying. Doesn't draw others to our great God. Really, it's toxic. I talked about that just in the office atmosphere we had. I mean, it just brings you down. And when I had gone back to Vermont a year later, the two complainers had left. And I mean, you know, it's just amazing the difference. I mean, that's just our secular environment. But again, think about what message do we send when complaining characterizes our life about our God. But then think about what message thanksgiving sends to others. That is edifying. That does draw others to our great God. Let me say this. Parents, teach your children to give thanks. There are just so many times through the week where you'll find yourself being able to just stop whatever you're doing and take a moment and lead your children in giving thanks to God. You know, whether that's just the sunset's exceptionally beautiful tonight. Guys, let's stop and let's recognize the creative power of our God and give Him thanks. You know, maybe it's just a fun family evening, something where you guys have just had a good time. Let's make sure let's stop together and thank God for tonight. You know, one of the things we find a lot is kids fall down and get hurt. You know, and there's scrapes and there's cuts and there's everything like that. But you know what often happens is that cut and that scrape heals. It's amazing how God designed the body to heal like that, isn't it? Let's thank God for that. You know, just all those little things through the day, through the week, where not only we would turn to God to pray for His help and for His strength and His support, but also thanking Him and turning to Him for thanks. We talked a couple months ago about teaching our children, again, more than just rules and ritual, that what we want to do is teach them to love and trust God personally. That's what God calls us to do. If you remember Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord with your all, love the Lord your God with your all. These words shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently, your children. What we're trying to do is teach our children to love God and trust in Him. What a better way than continually pointing out that He is the giver of blessings and seeing His blessings in His hand and giving Him thanks and teaching them to do that. Think about the idea of being thankful and giving thanks. Both some of the texts we read earlier conveyed both ideas. Thankful really is conveying our attitude. It's a disposition of gratitude. Whereas thanksgiving really goes one step further than just being thankful. I'm gonna actively communicate that thanksgiving and talk about that. So let's be thankful. Let's also give thanks. And I wanna clarify this. even the title I gave, in everything give thanks, from 1 Thessalonians 5:17 or 18. Notice the difference between thanking God for everything and in everything. Because the reality is, bad things happen. That's the nature of this world. I don't think God wants me to be thankful for evil, from things that are from sin and Satan. I'm not thankful for those evil things. But what we do recognize that in bad things, even as they're happening, God still accomplishes good. God still works for good. We see that in the lives of Joseph. Some evil things happen to Joseph, but you see God's hand. Some evil things happened to Jesus when he died on the cross, but you see how God worked in that to accomplish mind-blowingly, amazingly good things. And so in God, in bad things, God's working for good. And despite bad things, God has blessed us in ways that transcends our circumstance. So we need to see his hand for good, whether it's in our circumstances or whether it's beyond our circumstances, to see Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on his purposes, fix our eyes on his promises, and his good work. You know, when I think about the promise in Romans 8:28, you know, that promise isn't about what happens to me in this life. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And goes on to describe that purpose in verse 29 is that we'd be conformed to the image of his son. Again, that's not about, well, the sun will come out tomorrow kind of thing with this world. It's about God's working to change you to be more like Jesus. And so that's cause for thanksgiving. We need to fix our eyes on his purposes, on his promises, on his good work. We need to give thanks in everything, always. You know, you think about a scene like this, and it's pretty easy to give thanks. You know, you experience a day like that. Oh, man, praise God. You know, we talked about the temptation to become self-reliant and not respond in thanksgiving, but for the most part, this is a pretty easy day to give thanks for. Then we have days like this. And it's a little harder to be thankful and to give thanks. And I hope you guys recognize, I'm not talking about the weather anymore. We have days like this. Some of us, we have days like this. I'm not talking about the weather. But we have days that look and feel like this. But in it all, we still have the cross. We still have what God's given us in Jesus. And so no matter what happens horizontally, we recognize what we have from the Lord. I think about what the Lord taught Paul when he's begging that those thorns in the flesh be removed. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Romans 8:17, I consider the sufferings of this present world, this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. They're not worthy to be compared. They're in totally different leagues, on totally separate planes. The glory of God's face is beyond our comprehension. We have images and we have metaphors and we have pictures in the scriptures just to help us get little tastes here and there. But that's truly beyond our comprehension. But that is our hope. And even if you suffer from physical weakness, you're strong in Christ. Even if you suffer from material poverty, in Christ you have wealth beyond imagination. And this is cause to rejoice, and in everything give thanks. Paul wrote, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." On Sunday evening, Andrew reminded us to sing more. So I'd like to sing more. I forgot to fill that in, but thankfully Andrew had planned to lead that one anyway. So number 68, if you want to read it. But I've got it up on the board. Let's sing this song together if we could. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks.
I don't intend for this to be a do more kind of a lesson. Hope this is a be more kind of a lesson. I know for myself, sometimes, you know, hear enough lessons and you just think, I've just got a long to-do list. I need to do this and this and this and this. And that can be overwhelming and discouraging. But God means for us to be changed, to transform us and to fill us up. So it doesn't feel like a do more kind of anything. It's just who I am. And I think with Thanksgiving, this is who we're supposed to be. This is who He's called us to be in Christ. And He's overwhelmed us with His love in Jesus. Again, regardless of whatever happens in this life, He's overwhelmed us with His love in Jesus. And that changes us. That transforms us and should fill us up with this response where joy, rejoicing, thanksgiving becomes a part of who we are. So let's recognize God's blessings and give thanks. Let's give thanks and recognize more and more God's blessings. Let's give thanks with passion, enthusiasm. Let's give thanks continually, be filled with God's love, be transformed by His love, and in everything, let's give thanks. Let's go to God in prayer. Our great Father in heaven, we love You so much and are amazed by the ways that You love us. Throughout scriptures, you've accomplished good things for Your people despite so much challenge and pain and so much of the wickedness of sin and all the consequences that go along with that. But throughout all of that, over and over and over again, we see Your purposes to bless us and fill us up with You and make us to be conformed to the image of Your Son. And ultimately, we've seen Your love on display in giving Your only Son to die for us. And all that goes along with that, the ways that single act teaches us so much and fills us up. And what a sacrifice and a gift, one that we so easily forget or minimize, get used to, and take for granted. Help us to respond and meditate on the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus and to be filled up by it and changed by it. Help us to be thankful people who express our thanks and respond to You in a way that You deserve. For You are worthy of so much more than we can offer, but help us to spend our life trying to give you glory and thankfulness. Thank You for adopting us as Your children, bringing us into Your family, making us heirs to all the promises and all the glory that awaits us. Help us to be who You would have us to be. Help us to love each other, to be strong in truth and strong in what's right. And may You be glorified in all things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not in Christ, we want to baptize you into Christ for forgiveness of sins so you can start your walk with God, that you can become His child, and that you can live your life for Him. If you're in Christ and you're struggling with anything, if there's things that are weighing you down, we want to pray with you and pray for you and do anything we can to help and encourage. If there's anything that we can do to help, please come forward as we stand and sing.